Alrighty, how's everybody doing today? We're going to be starting a new series today called Talking with God. It's going to emphasize the idea of prayer, but being able to help us to communicate better with our Heavenly Father. Well, good communication, as we know, is the foundation for any relationship that we have. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been concerned about maybe sometimes that you might say something wrong when you're around people? I know I have. I remember the first few months after I'd gotten saved that, you know, I was just very concerned that I was going to say something unchristian around these people that I thought were so holy. I was a construction worker, and we were the kind of people that we didn't say please and thank you all the time. You know, if you're working with somebody and they keep handing you something, you know, how many times can you say thank you, right? You know, we just kind of a little more blunt, just kind of lay it out, and I wasn't really much of a cusser. I did cuss, but it wasn't really something I did a lot of, but I was around it every day. And I don't know about you, but you keep hearing something all the time, there's a good chance it might slip out. And I just didn't really want to do that and blow my cover, you know what I mean, around all these, you know, holy people that I thought. So, you know, it was always something kind of made me nervous. And really, after I grew in Christ a little bit, the root cause was really that I felt unworthy. And that's what the problem was. I was a new believer and didn't really understand all the things that really my identification and how my relationship with God really worked. It was just all new to me, and I had a lot of misunderstanding. So I knew I was saved, but on the other hand, I was seeing myself still like I was in the past. And so that had to change. And you say, how's that tie in with prayer? Well, it's going to, the first week or so here, I want to kind of approach it from this angle about, you know, how we can better, you know, come into that connection. I want to remove all the barriers or all the obstacles that you and I may face as we try to approach God. Scripture I want to look at momentarily is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 20, which is not a normal prayer scripture, but it is a relational scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 20. And it says, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. They said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you. And in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the blessings that you bring our way. And Lord, one of the greatest blessings is to come into relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Lord, right now, I thank you for all the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in this service. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I thank you for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart. In any way, shape, or form, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a story where God was trying to again initiate relationship with his people. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they had perfect communion with God. But then, for whatever reason, they really thought Satan had a better deal. They were mistaken. And then sin came into life, and that brought a separation or a division between us and God. Well, then through a process of time, different things happened, and God was trying to get things coming on the earth, and he spoke to Abraham, and then through his descendants, and all these things. And then through a process of time, the people of Israel started to cry out to God because they were being oppressed so bad by the Egyptians. Well, then God showed up, and God delivered them. Well, then he was leading them to the promised land. And the promised land kind of symbolizes the promised land where God wants you and I to go. It's not a symbol of heaven, because in heaven there ain't no giants or problems. So really it's a symbol of where God is trying to lead you and I into our promised land, to the place he wants for us to be. Well, in the process of that leading, you know, God wanted to initiate relationship with his people, and he wanted to set some boundaries. And it's all normal. Any relationship needs boundaries, right? You all have different boundaries set up in different types of relationships in your life right now. I'm sure you let your spouse get away with a little more than your neighbor, amen? At least you should. So there's boundaries in every relationship. Well, as the people were wanting to, you know, do this, and then all of a sudden God kind of showed up and he kind of spooked them a little bit. And he scared them. And he was wanting to test their hearts and let them know that he was wanting them to be able to walk in his power and his obedience, you know, so that they wouldn't sin. So then the people, all of a sudden, remember, these were slaves, right? These people were slaves. They had a slave mentality. They had been beaten down for years and had served the Egyptians. And all of a sudden, you know, God delivered them in that slave mentality, that where they didn't feel good enough, maybe was still deep down inside of them. And when God scared them, they come up with an idea, and it was the biggest mistake they ever made. And you and I kind of make the same mistake sometimes, because God wanted to talk to each of them, but they didn't think they were worthy enough, and God scared them, and then they come up with an idea, Moses, you go talk to God for us. See, God desires relationship with everybody, but yet, they felt afraid. They felt they needed a representative to go on their behalf to kind of talk to God, and then, you know, he would bring back the information to them. And that go-between mentality, I believe, has hindered God's people for years. And even though we don't really think we're doing that, I think subliminally we really are. You know, I think, I know some people, and nobody in this church believes that, I think. But when I used to travel as an evangelist, you know, I'd talk to people, and, you know, some people let some things slip out. And they would say they thought it was the pastor's job to go talk to God for them. That's what they pay him for. You know, and I told them, hey, that dollar ain't going to get you much time that you're putting in that bucket. Some of you didn't get that one, did you? Amen. But, you know, that's the idea that sometimes we have. And you know, it won't work in the long run, having somebody as a go-between. You know, we need to just dismiss that mentality. You know, the idea that Moses could go talk to God and then, you know, he would speak to the people what God said, and they promised, I'll cross my heart. I cross my heart, Moses. We're going to listen to you. Moses, you're our leader. You know, we're going to follow you. Oh my, God's really using you, Moses. Wasn't very long and they all turned on him like a pack of dogs. You know? Because that go-between mentality doesn't work in the long run. And when they stopped listening to Moses, then things started to fall apart. So that's why we need that personal connection to stay strong. You know, and what happens is that when we have somebody else, you know, speak on our behalf, things can get misunderstood. You know that old game people play sometimes where you have 10 or 20 people and, you know, you tell somebody to the first person, then they keep passing it on. Then when time you get to the last person, you know, it's the wrong message. You know, if we did that today and if you guys thought I was your go-between, you know, how about, you know, Rebecca would come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, tell God to help me. Yeah, it just seems like I'm so busy all the time. I'm in over my head. I just want out. There's so much going on. I want out of this problem. I go, sure, I'll go tell God. So I go over and I tell Pat, he's God today. Well, he's God for the day. Shannon says, no, he's not. But anyway, we'll say he is. So I go up to Pat and say, hey, Rebecca said she's too busy for you and she wants out. See, I broke it down. I didn't tell everything right, did I? I messed it up. Why would you want to put your trust in some go-between like me or somebody that puts a collar around their neck to go and talk to God for you when you can do it directly and they just no misunderstandings then? See, that's what we need to understand, that we go there because of what Jesus did. We can go there and we can minister to God. Now, I do know that God can be a little scary sometimes, and he can be intimidating if we, you know, just see him according to a certain light. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes some things growing up, you know, that when we're growing up, people tell us if you do something wrong, God's going to get you. Right? We've all heard that growing up. that if we go out and we do something wrong and sin against God, you know, God is going to get you. Now, we as parents probably do that. And I think even Christian parents, you know, sometimes in our life have probably used that philosophy in trying to train our kids to obey. Come on, be honest. We've all kind of made that mistake. You know, and the truth is, you know, we're the ones probably more embarrassed about our kids than God is. You know, God's seen it all, hasn't he? And if we're honest, God, when we were a kid, watched us doing it. And he still loves us, right? So that's how it works. But yet, we, on the other hand, think we want to try to do some things. And I've heard people say this before. They're talking to some little kid. A little kid done something. Maybe they hit somebody or something. They say, you know, you made God sad today. And that little kid starts crying, you know, and they're just thinking, oh my gosh. You know, when we tell them that you made God sad today, here's what the kid heard. God hates me. Nothing I do is ever good enough, and I'm going to hell. And they hold on to that in their mind. Even though they suppress it, that's their idea of what God's like. Because we tell them that God is bad and he's mean, and if you don't obey, you're in trouble. Now, not all the time we do that, but just every now and then. But how many know that one negative thought can undo a lot of good thoughts? It's just the way it works. That's why weeds grow better than flowers, just in the world that we live in. And my parenting advice to you today, just in case, is don't ever use God as the bad guy. We need to train our kids that, you know, God is the good guy. And when we mess up, we run to God. We don't run away from God. Because what that's going to do is when we get that down in our hearts and in our spirits, you know, that it's going to hinder us wanting to go and make connection with him. Even though we can get saved, but nevertheless, to be able to build up a good connection with him, a good relationship with him. Now, I know we tried to do it good, but I know that we messed up. And I'll be honest, how many knows that sometimes truth doesn't work as fast? So sometimes we try to go, then we go over to the lie, right? You know, I know we've done it. Instead of just telling, you know, trying to love them up and tell them how good God is and let God work in their hearts, you know, we tried to help God. We tried to threaten them and different things, and I think we're all guilty of that. So that side effects of that wrong thinking, which is going to affect our prayer life, is God is strict and no fun. That's how I grew up. That's why in my thinking, I mean, even though maybe I just picked that up from people or whatever, I don't know what the case may be. And also the idea that no way I can ever please him. I can never please God. Or the other one is, God, he doesn't really have time for me. He's busy. God's got a lot going on. So God doesn't have time for me. And then also, I've just decided I want to keep my distance from him. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm a believer, and I know God, and I pray to him from time to time. But I do know this, that sometimes those little things, those little thoughts in our mind from the past hold us back from really connecting and entering into God's presence and being able to have that supernatural connection that we need. Now, we know that God shows up from time to time in our life, and I do not deny that. But I'm looking at this talking with God idea is the concept that I believe that we can have a little better dialogue in being able to connect with God. Now, the next scripture I want to look at is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. That's New Testament. Never looked at an Old Testament scripture. Now, the Old Testament's good as long as you look at it through the cross when you're looking backwards. You understand it through the cross of Christ. But the New Testament, we're looking at it from a different set of eyes. Now it's got some scary part and it's got some good part. It says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, this is the good part, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, like I said, the scary part, you know, there's no sense hiding from God or trying to hide our sin. He sees through it. He, you know, you can wear a costume and God will still see through it, right? So, and that's good. That shouldn't scare us because, you know, God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And when we get real with God, I believe that God gets real with us. So what we see from this, when the people in the Old Testament rejected that closer connection from God to some degree and they wanted go-betweens, now God came up with a different system and Jesus Christ came and He's our mediator. Now the word mediator is talking about a person who attempts to make people involved in a conflict come to an agreement. Now you and I know we're in a conflict with God. Due to the sin in our life, it makes a separation. Can't help it, just born that way. Sin is in our life. Well, when Jesus Christ came, we know that His blood was shed and the blood of Christ speaks life and it overcome the death in our life and all these things, you know, came into play and it totally turned our circumstances and our situations around. Now, this mediator helps when to get healthy communication back where communication is broken down between the parties. Now, Jesus is our mediator. Now, He won't get things up like I did earlier, right? Well, like I mentioned with Rebecca telling me something about she's, you know, too busy. She just wants out. She just wants to get closer to God. And I just went and told God that, you know, she says she's too busy for you. See, Jesus wouldn't get that mixed up. He's a good mediator. He's the one who understands. He's the one that we can go to. Now, full disclaimer. Now, if you want to approach God, the only way you can do it is to go through Jesus. Because we're not good enough to go to Jesus by ourselves. But like I've said before, if you're driving in a car and you're almost ready to get in an accident and if you don't have time to say, in Jesus' name, I still think God's going to help you. Amen? You know, if you say, God help, and that's all you can get out for, you know, something bad happens, I think God's good and I don't think He's legalistic in any way, shape, or form. But for the most part, we need to understand that we go to God through Jesus Christ. So that's why we say in Jesus' name. It's not just something we tack on to make it sound pretty, but it's actually reminding us and putting us in a position to know that Jesus is the way that we can approach God again, and that's good, and that helps us in our prayer life. Now, even though we know we can go through Jesus, and that's exciting, we all have some personal barriers, don't we? Now, maybe I'm the only one, and that's, you know, I apologize if I'm preaching to nobody right now, but myself. But we have some, I think, family issues that can get in our way with our connection with God. Because sometimes these family issues can hinder us in getting to enter in. And I know that sometimes different things in my life has made it so that, you know, my prayer life has been strained. You know, I've been saved a little over 30 years now. Done a lot of praying. Prayed my tongue dry sometimes, you know what I mean? You know, but there has been times my prayer life has been better than others. And usually, and we're going to go into this more next week, some things, you know, that it's on my side that's usually the problem. What's always the problem? Now, I've counseled some Christians, and nobody in this room, who don't talk to their earthly father sometimes, for whatever reason. And how that can have a bearing on our connection with our Heavenly Father. I've had people tell me they go to family gatherings, and they may even give their dad a gift. Not on Father's Day, but at Christmas. It's not, you know, they don't go that far. But, you know what I mean? But what happens is that they just stay on the other side of the room. They don't communicate. because they're holding on to some things. Now, you know, I'm not picking on parents. Parenting's rough, you know, and sometimes, you know, bad parenting is something that we learn from bad parenting, right? And some of it's a byproduct of our culture, too. But they still feel estranged as they go to them family gatherings. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. You know, you go into a family gathering, and for whatever reason, it's usually either a chip on your shoulder or a hurt in your heart. And you go into that situation, and you just don't feel a connection with that group. And sometimes it can come from the fact of our issues that we may have with our earthly father. And earthly fathers, I mean, they're different than mothers, right? You've heard the old saying, you know, a lot of the men who's locked in prison, you know, they ask for all kinds of cards on Mother's Day, but on Father's Day, a lot of them don't ask for a card to send to their dad because they don't have a relationship with their dad. So it's a different way of approaching. I mean, usually women are more nurturers and dad's more of a rub a little dirt on it and get over it. You know what I mean? And sometimes that can be taken in a harsh way to some. So they feel estranged and they don't really try to talk to their earthly father because they think they know they will not agree with what he has to say because when they were growing up, they didn't agree with what he had to say. I'd like to think I've gotten better as an earthly father, you know, especially since my kids have grown up and moved out of the house. Amen. Now I'm a professional, you know, hallelujah. But growing up, you know, when they're under your roof and you guys are iron sharpened iron and, you know, all this stuff's going on, you know, it's difficult. And, you know, sometimes you get, you know, going along a certain way and it's tough. And what happens is that when we have these overlapping feelings in our lives, it can hinder us going to God. And I feel that even Christians can attend family gatherings, meaning church, and they never connect with their Heavenly Father. They never really get close because there's a barrier. There's some sort of barrier in their life that is holding back that intimacy. And I know that God wants to be able to take that away for us today. You know, we feel that we're not good enough. You know, I've done this to my kids, and I've apologized several times. You know, for whatever reason, you know, a lot of dads, and I've seen some moms do it too, psycho moms, but anyway, never mind, I didn't mean to say that. Hey, we'll edit that part out. But, you know, whenever a kid, you know, your kid can hit, you know, they can go 3 for 4, you know what I'm saying? Hitting, 2 doubles, a triple, and then they struck out. And what do we say? Why'd you swing at that bad pitch? Huh? Why'd you swing at that bad pitch? You know, we make the mistake of pointing out the bad things, even though they've done all these good things. So they get the idea that we're critical. And they take that attitude also, you know, especially if they grow up and God bless them, well-meaning Christians that tell them that God's going to get you if you step over the line. If you do that, you know, you made God sad today. All this stuff. We think that God's critical of us. So I don't know about you, but how many love being around a critical person? None of us. None of us want to have a relationship with a critical person. Because it makes us feel icky. Nobody likes to be criticized. And so in order to avoid what we perceive will be criticism, we keep our distance just a little bit away. We still have kind of relationship, but we don't have connection. And so God wants to, I think, open our eyes today because this is part of learning about how to talk with God. Now, the father who maybe overcorrected their kids, you know, were really just trying to make us better. But we perceived it as maybe rejection. And I think sometimes we don't think the Lord's going to approve of maybe some things in our life, so we just kind of choose to kind of stay back a little bit. And there's another one, which we're probably going to go into a little more next week, that sometimes we pull back. How many love to get close to somebody that you feel has let you down? You know what I mean? Somebody in your life has let you down big time. They weren't there for you, you felt, when you really needed them. How many love to just go up and say, hey, let's spend some time together? None of us. And I think sometimes we can bring in that, also that mindset when we go to God, that, you know, maybe we're praying and believing God for something in our life, and it's not going fast enough, or it didn't happen the way that we wanted. So deep down inside us, we have a little wound that we feel that God let us down. Maybe we thought He was going to maybe heal one of our loved ones, and they went on to be with the Lord. Or maybe you thought God was going to heal maybe something in your life, your marriage, or maybe a relationship, or maybe get you a job promotion, or all these different things. So we get our faith out there, and you know it doesn't turn out the way we want. So we kind of feel that. We feel like we've been rejected, that we've been put aside. And see, all these things you and I deal with, I believe, when we come to Jesus, come to the Father through Jesus, even though we still go there because we know we have to, I have to pray, I need to pray, I need God, but yet there's that barrier. So we go through the motions like a bad marriage, but we don't enjoy the intimacy. And we want to turn that around. Because the Bible says that Jesus is our healer, and that's my next point. Jesus is our healer. You know, maybe this has kind of opened up some wounds today. I know it did for me. But thinking about it, you know, Jesus is not only our mediator, but the Bible says that He's our healer. And He can be able to heal our hurts and put us back into the place that God wants us to be, to be able to walk in that love. You know, and that means as we forgive and we let God have it, then I believe that healing. You know, I know in my life, God has touched my heart so many times, and different things in my life where I felt that maybe, you know, somebody, even a family member, has maybe let me down some way. And I had an expectation that wasn't met. And I finally just had to get over to God and let God heal me. And I just felt His presence come in because I released it to Him. Because as long as I carry that pain, you know, it's going to be a problem. I heard a quote the other day, an old one that we've probably heard before, is that, you know, knowing that past hurts can hold us back. And what the quote was, hurt people hurt people. Right? If we're hurt on the inside, then we're going to maybe go around and we're going to hurt other people. And we need to turn that around and let Jesus Christ, you know, to come in to be able to bring that healing and restoration. And I just want to offer that today, you know, to let Jesus come into our lives. As we go through this series on talking with God, I think step one is to take away any barriers, you know, any barriers in our life that may be holding us back from getting close. And as we do this, we're going to proceed in that journey, and then we're going to end up at the destination where God wants us. Let's bow our heads.